Today, we are joined by Brandon from the Terrorific podcast. It was a major talent. He's a witty voice in the horror world who somehow makes the creepiest topics feel like a good time. Frankly, he's wildly out of our league, but we shot our shot and he said yes. And now we're calling it a collaboration and it's truly a win for us.
Yes, I think he was actually calling it Grimly Rifflick, which brilliant. Is so funny. Thank you, Brandon. Make sure you go follow Terrorific and you listen to this episode along with our commentary on the Grave Encounters movie that this episode is based on. And yeah.
Welcome to Grimly.
Welcome to Grimly.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
The asylum was never meant to cure. It was meant to contain. Michael Foucault. Welcome to Grimly.
Today's an extra special episode.
It is.
Of Grimly.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hi, Brandon. How are you?
Hello. Doing well. How are y'all?
You know, we're chilling on this fine Saturday, and I'm trying to...
Sunny Saturday here.
Survive the pollen. If I sound congested, I have really bad allergies, so I am not sick. Just
thankfully
allergic
the one
to the
next to you.
Yeah, it's just allergic to the world.
Yeah,
I can relate.
Oh really? Yeah, it's fucking bullshit. This is our first real crossover episode.
Yep, welcome to Grimly.
Yeah, you called it a Grimly Rific. Is that what you called it?
Amazing.
Grimly-rific. Yes.
Is that?
Yes.
I think that was your notes said, which is very smart.
So let's go ahead and introduce Brandon.
Yeah.
To the pod.
So we have Brandon O on, who does Terrorific.
Great.
And who does, you do like a synopsis of various horror movies, right? Is that how you would explain it?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say I kind of go through each scene of the movie and kind of highlight and break down the absurd happenings in said films.
I love
and,
that.
Just make it real unhinged, real out of pocket. And whatever happens and comes out of my mouth is what we're going to get.
Totally.
Well, we do have that in common, at least.
That's what I was like, this I feel like would be a good crossover to do because I was watching an episode of Ghost Adventures, as I do. And
yes.
And there is a specific episode that felt very connected to one of my favorite horror movies. And then I texted Brandon. I was like, hey, I'm like, this could be like a really good, I think, crossover episode.
Okay. Yeah.
To try to see if we could, you know, make it work and
make it happen.
Make it happen. A couple months later, finally made it happen.
Well, just a note for the audience, Missy already knows I feel this way. Terrorific is a fantastic podcast, and Brandon is out of our league, so we're very lucky to have him here.
I don't know about all that, but I appreciate you saying that. Yeah.
No, yeah, you were doing like an analysis of Barbarian, like just like how it's connected to the zeitgeist. I was like, oh my god, who is this intellectual man?
And I love Barbarian too.
Yeah, that's like probably her favorite horror movie. And I think I sent you that one. I was like, you should listen to this
one
specifically. Yeah, you just like a really good analysis, and it is very funny. You definitely say things sometimes that like honestly do crack me up, but you're also like very smart about the way you talk about movies and analyze them. So yeah, we are really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. Glad to be here. I mean, I've listened to y'all stuff too, and y'all are more hilarious than anything Terrorific can dream of being. Yeah.
I'm glad that translates.
I think we're gonna get something
in that way.
Yeah, we're gonna get something here. The two of us together. I don't know if the audience is really prepared for what they might experience today.
Yeah,
no one is prepared.
In like terms of like unhingedness, is that what you mean?
Yes, for sure. And I have a cup of glass of bourbon next to me right now too. So
hell yeah,
wherever
cheers.
We go is cheers. Where we're going to go.
Yes, fantastic. Cheers, sir. What type of bourbon are you drinking?
What was this? Basil Hayden.
That's a solid.
Yeah.
If you ever can get your hands on Blanton's, have you had Blanton's before? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a rare bottle to find now. It seems like it's hard to locate for a lot of people. Like, I get texts from friends who are like, hey, there's two bottles at the Total Wine in Seattle. Like, you should try to go get one if you can. I'm like,
okay, a real friend would have bought it and said, Venmo me right now, true. And I'll buy both of them.
You have a valid point there. Yeah.
That's a very sound friend.
My mom's husband is really into bourbon. I feel weird saying stepdad at this big age, but I guess he is my stepdad.
Mom's husband, I think, also is totally
fair.
Yeah.
They were like 30. Funny. I was like 30 when they got married. So it's like, at this point.
That's not your stepdad. That's,
I'm hella grown.
That's partner.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So my mom's husband, he's a really big bourbon guy. So he has a whole collection set up. And so whenever I had the Blantons at their house, once or twice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's delicious. It's just, I don't know why it's so freaking hard to find. It's a rare one out there, I guess.
Well, I do not drink whiskey.
No.
I try. I can appreciate it, but I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
What's your go-to?
I like gin and tequila, probably, if I'm going to be drinking liquor. But I drink more wine.
My two least favorite? Respect. Yes.
They are total opposites of the spectrum, which is why I think whiskey doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah. I do like a French 75, which is a gin-based drink.
Yeah.
But I do fucking love tequila. Those are good.
You know, I think that Japanese whiskeys are a little bit better for me. And I also like mezcal a lot. So, like, I would probably do, like, scotch or a Japanese whiskey, which is really, like, kind of lighter.
Scotch is nasty.
Santori Toki. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But scotch is nasty.
Yeah, the smokiness, I don't do it. So, scotch, mezcal.
Most people don't. Yeah.
It's like you're drinking an ashtray.
We are incompatible.
Big pass. Yeah.
But you know what? You guys don't
have to
share.
It's about balance.
That's true.
You don't have to share. Each bottle is your own. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's really what's important. No sharing.
No sharing.
But
and we can't.
I'm an only child. I never learned how to share anyway. So this
you are. Wow.
Nice. And you have four kids, right?
Four kids. Yes. Yeah. So quite a different life I'm living now than what I grew up with. Yes. It's fun though.
Yeah.
So shout out to my kids and my wife for bearing them.
Yeah. Somebody please don't listen to this, children.
It's not going to be me.
Totally. Busy guy.
Yeah, please don't listen to this for your children's sake, though, because we're going to probably swear a lot, hopefully.
Okay, let's leave the parenting up to the parents.
That's true. I'm sorry. I'm just
saying. Like, we don't know. No, they have never heard an episode of Terrorific either and never will. Neither has my wife. She doesn't do scary movies at all. So, I'll send them to her just so she can play it, just like to give me the count. You know, that's how she supports me. But as far as like actually listening to the content, no, she never listened to it.
She's like, no, thank you.
Honestly, anything that's even remotely scary, she's like, I don't want any parts of that.
You made your own community. Like, you just basically like, you know what? I'm going to go find people that like scary movies. And
exactly.
This will be my thing.
Totally.
So, good for you. We all need our things in life. So did we introduce ourselves? I don't think we did.
I feel like I tried. I'm Meg. We know this is Brandon.
Yeah, this is Brandon. Sorry, we got so wrapped up in introducing you, we forgot to introduce ourselves.
Like, we're good at this at any other time.
No, either. Truly. It's usually
the
10 minutes.
The important person need to go first anyway, so
it works. Yeah, exactly. We had to make sure our guests felt welcome in this moment.
What are we talking about today?
So let's get into a little location that is going to be the inspiration, I will say, for Terrorific episode.
I can't wait.
Okay, so there is a place in New Jersey where thousands of people once lived, not as visitors, not as patients passing through, but as residents of a system they rarely left. A place that promised care, structure, and even healing. But over time, something far more complicated happened. Behind its walls were stories of hope, control, silence, and survival, all unfolding at once. And even now, long after the buildings have been torn down and the grounds reshaped, something about it still lingers. Today, we are stepping into the history and the shadows of the Essex County Hospital, aka the Overbrook Insane Asylum.
Okay, I don't know anything about this.
Very spooky. Yeah. So this is, I think originally we were talking about just making this all one big merge of an episode, but I do think to just be PC about the whole thing, we're going to just do
respectful,
just it do like talking about this actual location and then the Ghost Adventures episode. And then Meg's favorite. And then we'll do the Grave Encounters episode,
which is the movie version.
I guess it's the behind the scenes. I didn't need to tell everyone.
You did not. We knew this. But what I think you're trying to say is that, like, you're about to tell us some fucked up shit. And
yes, thank you. That's I am about I to. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is, yeah, this is a fucked up history. If you've read anything about how mental health was handled in the early, you know, couple decades or couple centuries of America, of, you know, Europe, it's not good. So just, you know, get ready for embrace that, ourselves. I guess. Okay. Embrace yourselves or brace yourselves.
I might embrace myself also.
Embrace and yeah. brace.
Yeah. Get that extra comfort.
just give yourself a little hug. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. In 1896, in Essex County, New Jersey, a few hundred acres of farmland near the Peckman River was available, and the city was trying to make a decision on what to do with it. Eventually, it was decided that the area would be made into an insane asylum named the Essex County Asylum for the insane, but it was nicknamed the Overbrook Insane Asylum because the grounds overlooked a brook or a river.
Okay.
Not very creative, but that's...
So of all the possible things they could build on this plot of land, someone decided that an insane asylum was the way to go?
Yes.
That's
yes.
what they okay. needed. Okay. I was thinking the Got same it. Thing. I'm like, how many people... Like, are this. They run amok? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, so there's another asylum that was, it's called like Greystone. It's also in New Jersey, and it was getting overcrowded.
New Jersey?
New Jersey. Kind of tracks for New Jersey.
Sorry. If any place needs strange. Two insane asylums next door to each other, it is New Jersey.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, no offense to New Jersey people.
No.
I'm watching The Sopranos right now for the first time, and this definitely checks out with what I've seen as New Jersey.
It's like on the tracks. I think we talked recently about how I will just like now have no interest in watching The Sopranos in one of her episodes, and people were giving me shit about it. They're like, you've never seen The Sopranos? I was like, I just don't.
Bro, okay. Like, also, it's toxic I haven't. Out here. Toxic. Okay. I had a tweet, what's the threads? I was like on the eighth episode of season one, and by that point the show like still sucked, or it was like boring. It started off really slowly. And so I said that online, and oh my god, like the number
they
of
came for you
that they came for me. Someone told me to like kill myself because
I'm over like, the Sopranos. Son.
Over the Sopranos.
I'm like, this bro, insane. This is a TV show. That's what we're doing right now. It was
it's
crazy.
Not that serious. It's not that serious.
Someone was like, hey, man, saying that you don't like The Sopranos is not going to make people listen to your shitty podcast. And I was like, bro, my podcast is about horror movies. Like, I'm not trying to like, use The Sopranos really. As some kind of jumping path to my podcast.
Yeah, but you're like, I'm anyway. Just a person having an opinion yeah. out here. I'm sorry
just
you
sharing
disagree.
My opinion but, to the void. And then it was not as void as I thought it was because people.
So you're
came
not
out
giving
quickly.
A. You're not selling it for me, I guess, is my point.
It got better.
So
it got better.
Watch it. Okay.
It got better.
To pile on, what episode does it start to get better? Like, what season? Because I've tried to watch
for,
two
for
or three
me,
episodes.
Episode 9 of season 1
9.
Is when it started
okay.
getting better. Yeah. So it takes some commitment, but
crazy.
If you can get
that
through
is
there.
Slow burn. Okay. Because yes. I've also yes. recently started it, and I've watched the first episode twice, and I've watched the majority of the second episode, and I'm like, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I'm not sure either. So I'm right there with you, but I'll keep trying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I will.
That's all right. But it's okay. You have other
maybe
things to do.
Maybe one day I will. But like I'm just yeah, just it doesn't really. I don't know, the mafia stuff never really interested me.
It's fine.
But anyways, let's get back to
the
story.
Mafia that's... stuff is like more like a backdrop. I'm sorry, I don't want to get on too much.
No. It's okay.
It's a very complex layered show. So I'll
it's like
just,
a family dynamic that. Is at the core
yeah,
of it,
family
and the mafia
dynamic
is kind of in the background.
Yeah.
Yes. Interesting. Is there anyone to root for? Like, there's a people that you want to see succeed?
That's actually a really good question because there are a lot of unlikable characters.
Yeah.
I would say Carmela, the wife, Tony's wife, she's probably the
okay.
one to root for.
Okay. Because I do also have a really hard time watching TV shows where everyone sucks. And like, there's no one that is like...
There's a lot of that. There's
you know, we're like, you're not like rooting for anybody. You're like, wow, I'm just watching a bunch of assholes.
It's like Succession you would
yeah.
hate.
Yeah, that's why I never got to Succession.
Succession,
I was like,
that's a good one too. I like Succession. Yeah, I guess I like one. Assholes.
Yeah, same. Maybe. I mean, yeah. Unless like I see that like they get what's coming to them. Maybe that's
they
why
don't.
I liked Game of
because
Thrones.
They're billionaires, so.
I liked Game of Thrones because the assholes got one.
You got them. Yours?
Yeah, they got theirs. Oh, yeah, they got you know, theirs. Except for season 8. He was a Stark and Targaryen for nothing. But anyways.
Yeah, let's
let's just keep going. Okay,
let's do that.
That's a rabbit hole that we can go very deeply down into.
I will not do, okay? I still have a grudge. Anyways, where was I? So the idea was to help the overcrowding of the nearby Newark County Hospital and Greystone Psychiatric Ward. And it was to house people who have various forms of mental illness and disorders. That was the plan in Essex County. So the campus itself was massive at about 325 acres. It had multiple red brick Victorian-style buildings built, which were connected over a mile of underground tunnels.
Why an underground tunnel?
Oh, I will tell you.
Okay.
Sounds real sus.
I'm wondering why you would need that.
This would allow the hospital staff to move equipment, medications, and on occasion, deceased patients without the rest of the patients seeing that or like getting in the way. So it's a way, it's like a underground freeway for the administration and the staff. Dark as fuck, though.
Yeah.
Dark as fuck. So the grounds also included a working farm, a power plant, workshops where the patients would make things like area rugs. I wonder if any of those rugs still exist.
Yeah, were they selling
them? Yeah, they were selling them. Yeah. And it also had a theater where patients could act out and direct plays. Oh. It also had its own railroad established within the grounds, and it would be able to bring in massive amounts of supplies into the compound itself. This is a massive compound. Yeah, they basically just make it its own little city, which is kind of the standard for this time when it came to these types of hospitals. And it sounds, I think, like something that's a good thing, but I think realistically they're just making it so these people would never leave and they would just could go there and then everyone could forget about them. They're like, you have your own little city now. You get to stay in,
for lack of a better word.
Yeah, this is your crazy town.
Yeah.
We don't talk about you anymore.
If that makes sense. Are you going to tell us how many people were housed there?
Yeah. The housing thing gets bad really quickly. In 1898, Overbrook was finally open, stating that the hospital would be providing more progressive and moral treatments to their patients.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Hmm. They're lying?
It doesn't happen. So they had like good intentions, I guess. But I think with this type of stuff, when it comes like funding and staff,
I don't know, maybe. Doesn't sound like it. But they're saying they did.
They're saying they did. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Your guys are calling sus.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt for now.
Okay. Fair enough. So the facility itself was estimated to be able to house about 15 to 2,000 patients.
Oh, okay.
1,500 to 2,000 patients. Comfortably. Emphasis on the comfortable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like other establishments, it would soon be seeing too many patients than it could handle almost immediately. And I do have some pictures. How do I send these to you? I mean, they're like red Victorian buildings. If you want to, there's one picture, Brandon, I'm going to send to you that I think will resonate with you, especially for next week. I just sent it to you on Instagram.
All right.
I saw this picture. I was like, oh, damn. Okay. You watched Grave Encounters too, right?
I did.
Okay.
I watched
it. Very spooky picture.
But
it looks like the movie.
Do the doors?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I saw that. I was like, oh.
Did they film it there?
No. Okay. No. They filmed that in BC.
Oh, of course.
Which is the place is still there, so we can go.
Oh.
Yeah. So by the year 1900, about 2 years after its official opening, the Overbrook was already at capacity. And they were also severely understaffed, and signs of neglect and abuse almost emerged immediately. So right away, shit goes south. So in 1910, a state grand jury investigated the conditions of the Overbrook and issued a report that was pretty scathing, which I feel like for 1910, having a scathing report about mental health is not good.
That's true.
Saying that the asylum was mismanaged and the establishment itself had, quote, gross immorality that existed in the institution.
Oh, no.
And during this time, gross immorality is a code for sexual abuse.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was also multiple accounts of patients abused by the hospital staff itself. But anyone that could have fixed this essentially swept this under the rug and just act like it wasn't happening, which is kind of the standard, unfortunately, for these places during this time. By the 1910s, the Overbrook was reported to have a maximum capacity of patients on the grounds, and it was often referred to by locals as the bin.
The loony bin?
No, the bin, like the trash bin.
Trash bin?
Oh, the trash. This is where we throw our people away.
Okay.
Which is, because it wasn't just like people who had like mental health stuff or like mental disorders. It was people who, you know, were maybe gay or like, you know, were
depressed,
shame to the family in some
capacity. Yeah. A woman
blind. Did they send blind people there?
Probably. Yeah. They sent like poor people there. It was like it was a mixed bag.
It's a catch all.
Yeah. Definitely a catch all for people who are not the quote unquote
best
normal part of society, unfortunately. On December 1st, 1917, would be one of the most infamous days in the Overbrook history. While in the midst of World War I, New Jersey and the northeast of the U.S. had a pretty gnarly cold snap come through. We don't know the exact temperatures of December 1st, 1917, but we do know that the winter of 1917 and 1918 had hit low temperatures of about negative 13 degrees Fahrenheit.
Damn.
Wow.
Super fucking cold.
In 1917?
Uh-huh.
That seems unpleasant.
And like, you know, it would be unpleasant now.
Yeah, I know.
Highly.
I guess maybe they might be more like prepared for it. Do you know what I mean? I don't know, like stronger than us in some
if
way.
If they're poor, I don't know.
About, yeah, those people. Yeah, no. Not those people.
No, I mean, there's probably some people who just had like fireplaces to try to like stay warm. And if you don't have enough wood, like, you're fucked.
You're right.
Yeah. This is
and how do you have enough wood for negative 17 degrees?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I think this is why people had tons of kids so they could chop all the wood during the summer.
Is that why you have four kids?
Yeah. I'm not utilizing them correctly.
You need them to work.
No. You got to get ready for that next cold snap in Texas. Which does happen, I guess.
Texas cold snaps are insane.
Yeah. You guys kind of lose your minds.
Our power grid like shut down like 5 years ago.
Oh, I forgot about that. That was crazy. Like that was so fucked. Like, how did you guys deal with that? I'm gonna blow my nose. Hold on, sorry.
Ours power stayed on somehow. So
we were
okay. Lucky. Yeah,
that's good.
But yeah, like Dallas proper was fucked.
Yeah, everything was like kind of SOL, right? When it came to that stuff too, yeah.
Good old Cancun cruise. He had fun out there.
I'm sure he did, motherfucker. Once again, I can't go on a tangent. Okay. So
sorry.
I can, but I will not. I will try to reel it in. So
a very tangential person. Is that a word? I hope so.
Tangential?
Yeah.
Yeah. In math. Isn't that like a
why are you looking at me?
I don't know. I don't know. Tangential is a thing in like calculus, right? Never mind. Okay, I'm gonna shut the hell up. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Cut it. We should cut that.
So the asylum's aging and unmaintained heating system and plant completely shuts down during this cold snap.
Causing
the temperatures in the patients' wards to plummet, which is not fucking good. So patients only had thin blankets and wore their winter jackets inside and slept two to a bed to try to stay warm with body heat. Administrators tried to bring in oil stoves and other various types of heat sources, but they all couldn't keep the cold out because these rooms are massive.
Oh.
And so they had like steam radiators kind of like lining the walls.
Okay.
And that was how they like heated up the place. But once all that went out, they would like bring in like a couple stoves, but it just
there's
isn't
no
enough.
Way it's gonna, they it's should just, all be like piled in a few rooms.
Yeah. Which... And this is also during World War I where... limited supplies anyways, and I mean it's also a mental ward, like they're not on the top list of priorities of people to help,
for sure,
you know, unfortunately.
And like some of them probably not in a position to help themselves either.
No, so definitely not.
They need to be taken care of and looked after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at one point one of the hospital administrators tries to use a locomotive engine to power the steam and the radiators.
A locomotive engine, what a throwback.
Because they had their own like railroad, right? And so then he tried to like bring it in and like tried to like figure out a way to like rig it and make it work.
Okay, just, he's trying
and
stuff.
It failed. Like it just it doesn't work. It was a long shot, I think, and a little bit of a desperation point. But like he tried. But they also could just make sure that their heating system was maintained and kept up properly, so this doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. You know. So over the next 20 days. Patients had to endure these horrific conditions, and 24 patients died from exposure or illness related to being stuck in the cold.
24 doesn't sound like as much as I thought you would say, so.
Yeah.
I was like, negative 13 degrees and I just have a thin blanket. I'm the Grim Reaper take me. I'm not trying.
You're like, I'm out of here. Like, I'm going to 86 myself. I mean, so I
walk out into the cold.
24 is what's recorded.
Oh, no.
I will say we don't actually probably know the real number.
They're like 24.
Yeah, 24. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
24 times like 20.
And how would you know? Because tunnels and such.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. And they also had their own crematorium on site.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. In a morgue. So, you know, not great.
I'm like, what? Oh, this was pre-Nazis?
This is pre-Nazis. This is 1917.
Damn.
This is World War One.
Okay. Yeah, history.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, history, bitch.
I was like, what kind of Nazi opened this?
business? It could have been a pre-Nazi. I don't know. I didn't get that from my research, though, I will say.
Copy.
So it was often described as patients being found in the morning being stiff as a board.
Oh.
Like they would just...
Frozen solid.
Yeah. Like a chicken cutlet. That's really crude. I shouldn't say that.
A chicken cutlet.
That was an inside thought that came out.
Like the least firm protein.
But when you pull it out of the freezer.
Oh, a frozen chicken cutlet.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you. I see that.
I was going to say popsicle, but yeah, that one chicken cutlet works better.
Either way, it's fucked up.
Frozen. Yeah. Okay.
It is.
And so 32 other patients had various forms of frostbite as well.
Oh, no. Frostbite is... I imagine it's painful.
It looks so painful. And it's like your digits in your nose and your ears. Like when we did the Everest story.
Yes.
There was a guy who like lost his fucking nose. Yeah,
turned black.
Yeah, it turns black. And they just had to cut his nose off.
I guess at that point, it's like the pain is you already gone through the worst of it probably.
Yeah.
I hate that.
But yeah, they had to like basically reconstruct a nose for him, which is crazy. So I will say that during this, hospital administrators tried to reach out to next of kin of these patients during this time, like this cold snap and the lack of heat. But most families either couldn't afford the care needed to take care of these patients, or they just ignored the requests.
Yeah, so they were like, gave them an opportunity to come pick up their
loved
ones.
Like, hey, we don't have any heat. You should come get your person.
Yeah.
And people just kind of ignored it.
Terrible. Of course.
It was called the bin.
That's why they're there.
Their problem now.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus take the wheel, I guess. I don't know. So ultimately, mechanical failure, lack of staffing, and overcrowding were the blame placed on this event. But no one was held accountable for what happened. And then the boilers and the backup systems were upgraded and replaced. And this event would go down as one of the deadliest tragedies in American asylum history.
Mm.
Which is crazy. I've never heard of that.
Right, you're not keeping close eye on the
American asylums,
tragedies of the American asylum system.
Honestly, it kind of does track for me, though.
It's true. That's like, a good one.
I'm more of a morbid history type of person, so if anyone would know.
Well, you do know about this one now.
I do know about this one now, so now I'm going to have to do a deep dive. That could be an episode, maybe. I don't know. So, in 1923, a senior nurse named Anna Rosvig was found to have been performing force feedings on female patients in the Overbrook.
Okay.
So force feeding was very common at this time, unfortunately. However, Anna had two patients die while force feeding them in two separate occasions, and the cause of death was determined to be exhaustion and choking.
Okay.
Exhaustion?
Yes. Choking. Exhaustion and choking. Like shoving...
Yeah.
So much food down their gullets that they're exhausted from trying to fight back and they die from it and choke.
And this is happening because they are like doing hunger strike stuff or they're not, or she's just like a depraved monster.
I think force feeding is a common occurrence during this time because there are a lot of patients that, you know, they're maybe on like the spectrum or something.
Sure.
And like food stuff is always a little bit weird and sometimes they don't want to eat or sometimes they want to eat like what's been given to them and they would basically force them to eat. Yeah. Be like, you have to eat. So we're going to just make you do it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But she has two patients die while under her care. That's
murder. Can you imagine just going to work and murdering some people?
And thinking it's
just a part of, you know,
part of my job. I mean, it sounds like that's what she did though.
The environment is... Gotta be bad.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
at that level.
If any place is fucking haunted, it's these places.
Yeah.
You know, just because all the gnarly shit that happens there. Do you believe in ghosts? Have I asked you this?
Yes. to an extent.
Skeptical.
Same.
Same. Yeah. I come in with a skepticism, but I definitely want it to be real. I think
I would say you come in with an optimism.
Optimism, please, ghosts, please exist.
Somebody get out there. Otherwise, it's fucking boring. I'm sorry.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed. Whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
So Anna was charged with manslaughter, but the Overlook defended her, and the act of force feeding patients in general, stating that it was a necessary measure for more difficult patient
cases. I fed them so much because they would die if I didn't. And then they died anyways.
No.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
So like this force feeding, are we talking like solid food or are they like blending it up?
And like it's like a gruel.
A gruel.
A gruel.
Oh my God.
Okay. I know. Gruel is one of the grossest words in the English language.
It's up there.
It's up there.
Is it an oatmeal base? Like, what's the base?
I think gruel is like an oatmeal base. Maybe like corn, like a polenta. Not polenta, grits. I guess polenta and grits are the same thing, aren't they?
I'm going to Google it. Gruel. Like, I don't even know how to spell. Oh, okay. It's a thin porridge made by boiling cereal grains like oats, wheat, or rice in water or milk. Just exactly what it sounds like.
So
like
gnarly.
Porridge.
It does sound disgusting. Maybe you know they didn't season it either.
No, a little brown sugar, a little butter, you know? Maybe?
Yeah. No, maybe? No. And it was water. Definitely water.
Definitely watery. Milk. Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, so that's kind of what they would force feed their patients, unfortunately. And no nutritional value.
I know.
Like, it's literally just to make sure their stomachs are full.
Just to keep you trudging along for a little bit longer.
Maybe.
They make money from the state or something. I'm like, what is the, like, business model? Is it like the prison system, modern day prison system?
I don't think it is like that now. Or like, I don't think how it is now is like how it was before.
If the families didn't have money to come and pick up their freezing loved ones.
Yeah.
I assume they're not paying the bills.
No. This is like a state.
Okay.
Funded.
Got it.
Hospital.
Okay.
This is.
So the more people they have, the more money they're likely to make.
I mean, but still not making enough.
The cheaper food they feed them.
Yeah.
There's just no incentive to take good care of people.
No. I don't think there's ever going to be enough money, unfortunately. I think the intention was there to like do good, but I don't think it ever.
It's a scenario that's like rife for corruption.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately.
For sure.
Yeah. So also in the 1920s, there were 14 patients that would escape from the Overbrook, and the most infamous one being Hanson Null. So in 1925, Hanson Null came from a wealthy family in the area and was a patient at the Overbrook and was diagnosed with what we would now call schizophrenia. Okay. Schizophrenia. After attacking his father with an axe.
Okay.
Oh, so that'll do it.
Okay.
He's truly like off the rails.
That'll do it.
Yeah. So he escapes in September of 1925.
You don't want that one escaping.
No. This is a horror movie in itself. He eventually kills a taxi driver for his car.
Oh, God.
Damn.
And then he kidnaps a 6-year-old girl named Mary Daly, and he tries to get a ransom for her kidnapping.
Okay.
But that doesn't work, and he shoots and kills her.
Oh, God. Where does he get a gun?
Probably in the taxi cab.
Taxi cab, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen, if the taxi man had a gun he was still axed to death,
he didn't kill him with an axe. I don't know how he killed him.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, it's not good. So he is eventually caught and arrested and confessed to everything. And it's determined that this is because he had like a schizophrenic break, right? And he's put into another psychiatric facility called Greystone Park, which is the one I talked about earlier, that like that one was getting over.
So they were kind of
getting too full. And it sounds like Greystone is the one for like criminally insane.
Oh, okay.
Probably where this guy should have been. Before,
To begin with.
Yeah.
Criminally insane. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So the public is shocked by this, obviously, as we all are in this moment. It's over 100 years ago.
God, that poor girl.
Yeah. And the overseeing physician is fired and blamed for the lack of oversight that could have caused a violent person like Null to escape.
Interesting.
So they blame one person, they fire him. Mm-hmm. But it's really, let's be real, a
systemic
issue. Problem here, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. By the 1930s,
No the lawsuits? Great Depression. Just a firing, that's it?
Just a firing. Yeah, no loss. I mean, it was 1925. I don't really...
Were we not as litigious?
Yeah, then? I don't think so. I think it was basically like, hey, sorry, your daughter was killed.
Do better next time. We'll try to do better next time.
Yeah, we fired this one guy. And sorry.
Moving on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So by the 1930s, the Great Depression hit. And this causes a huge surge of patients into the Overbrook.
Oh, okay.
And they're already at capacity at this point. People who were homeless and penniless families leaving behind relatives they could no longer care for with some of the additional patients being admitted into the hospital.
Oh, it's like old people maybe?
Or... Yeah. So people without mental like problems, not problems, disorders, you know, they were also just throwing like people who didn't have homes there or like single mothers or
Jesus,
like orphans, like just throwing, it's the bin, unfortunately. Yeah. So during this era, we would see approximately 4,000 patients within the Overlook walls. Overbrook walls.
Double. So double the capacity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So they're doubling the capacity. It's the Great Depression. And this is causing shortages of foods, clothing, beds. And then eventually, like, the day rooms and the hallways were jammed with cots trying to fill the needs for extra beds. And all this is also happening with an already strained and short staff. So shit is, like, real bad.
It's about to break.
Yeah. It's about to break. So social services themselves are also cut significantly at this time, which also meant that the extra help that was desperately needed for the Overbrook was not coming.
Okay. Like, oversight, maybe.
Yeah.
So people like keeping tabs on it.
We do know. Like, we just don't have the funds to give you to help.
Okay.
Yeah. So when it was open, the Overbrook would have an estimated 10,000 patient deaths.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big number.
And the majority of these deaths, at least half, would happen during this Depression era. So people were just dropping like
flies. So at any given time, they have 4,000 people and there's 10,000 dead.
By the time it's closed. Yeah.
So just like trucking them in and out or below
in the tunnels.
Into the crematoriums.
Jesus. There was also a graveyard on property. And there were oftentimes that like people would come back and pick up their dead relatives. But like oftentimes the people who weren't claimed were just cremated and buried on the grounds themselves.
Tracks.
Yeah, unfortunately. Wow. Yeah. So moving into the late 1940s and early 1950s, new psychiatric treatments began arriving, which brought some cautious optimism to the mental health world. So there's something called electroconvulsive therapy. Mm. It's called ETC. Have you guys ever heard of it?
Do they do that in the Leo DiCaprio one? What's the movie?
Shutter Island.
Shutter Island. Did they do any of that in Shutter Island?
What did I think of Titanic?
So.
I feel like they might have. You're like, Titanic. Where is she going with this?
Like, what?
Yes, I've seen it depicted in movies.
Yes. Yeah, and I think it actually might still happen.
Okay.
I don't think it's called electroshock therapy. I think that's different. I think ETC therapy is something different. It's like little impulses. I don't know if this is probably in its infancy, but like I think now it's like little impulses that causes like some brain rewiring to happen, maybe. Mm. Is when I looked it up, it's kind of what it sounded like.
Is it painful? I mean, I imagine that shit was.
I'm sure this shit was. Yeah. I don't know about... I think maybe now they sedate people to do it.
Wow. Okay, so then it would be probably.
Yeah.
How many test subjects did they need before they got the voltage right on this?
These were the test subjects.
Yeah, these were the test subjects. Let's be real. Unfortunately, people who like didn't have a family unit or anyone to like vouch for them,
yeah, they were the part people. Of the 10,000 where they were like, oops, I guess that was too many.
Like, oh, sorry. You know, yeah.
Dial it down a little bit.
Terrible.
Yikes. All right, bring the next orphan in, please.
I know.
Seriously. It's so bad.
It's fucked. This is why I think we should... This is why I was dark. Like, we should do two separate episodes.
Yeah.
So they also did start doing something called insulin shock treatments, which I guess makes you go into a coma, but it's like a planned coma.
That sounds fucked up as well. Don't like that.
And like, I don't know how that's supposed to help mental health. I don't think it's in practice anymore, but it was a way to like put people in a coma.
Just sedate them for
just
a while.
Sedate them. Like, you're acting up.
You can't
up.
Have a psychotic break if you're in a coma. So
yeah, right?
That's one way to approach it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they also did the ice pick lobotomy.
I was going to say they have been doing lobotomies, right?
Yeah, at this location, which if you don't know what that is, they literally take a tiny thin rod in like your eye socket and they tap, 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 and they hit your frontal lobe and, I don't know.
Scramble it up a little bit.
Scramble it up a little bit and call it a fucking day. I think it's supposed to make you like more docile, more agreeable. We will eventually do. I would
be pretty agreeable too if someone put a spike into my brain. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just walking on easy street because nothing matters anymore. Like, because everything's shot. I don't know. We will eventually do a lobotomy episode.
Didn't we talk about lobotomies when we did the Kennedy?
We did talk about lobotomies when we did Rosemary Kennedy, mm-hmm. and we did the Kennedy family curse, or our cursed families episode. But we will just, I think, in general, do a lobotomy episode at some point. I just, you know, haven't done yet. Okay, where am I? So at Overbrook, like many other hospitals, these methods were widely used, and for some patients, they offered relief. So it did work on occasion for some people. For others, they just became just another part of an already controlled existence. So it's just another, you know, brick to mm-hmm. the wall of me, like in this cage, unfortunately.
Sure. Yeah, it's already so shitty. Like, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I know. So in the 1950s, mental health treatment seemed to really shift with the introduction of antipsychotic medications.
Okay.
So they're actually finally starting to like medicate people properly during this era. And especially with the introduction of Thorazine.
Okay. Tell me about Thorazine.
I don't know about Thorazine.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk to us about Thorazine.
I know Thorazine is an antipsychotic medication.
Got it. Okay.
That's all I know. I didn't really look into it. I should have.
People are still using Thorazine?
I think it's still widely used today.
Okay.
I'm sure during this era, it was probably pretty fucking gnarly.
Okay.
It probably just made you like catatonic.
Totally.
I think for a lot of people. But I mean, better than
could be. I don't know.
I don't probably. Know.
Better than a coma or an eye spit to the eye.
Sure, right? Better than those.
Or like getting levels. Shocked in the brain. Mm-hmm. You know. So for the first time, there was a drug that could quiet symptoms that had once seemed untreatable, and that was Thorazine itself. And other types of medications, but Thorazine is the big one.
Dude, I bet they were starting to put everybody on Thorazine.
Yeah, there, like just handed it out like mm-hmm. fucking Pez.
Pez? Yeah.
Sure. Just a tiny little Pez dispenser, like a little Tweety
yeah,
bird.
Yeah, yeah, that works for me.
Yeah, yeah.
That reference.
Does Pez still exist? Is that still a thing?
Pez?
It yeah. is a thing, but you find it in like cheesy comic book stores and things, yeah. you know, like where they have like a candy section.
I think something. They're usually at like a dollar store too.
Yeah, dollar store would have yeah. them.
I mean, gotcha. I would get down on the Pez.
Places where kids are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a pretty big market for Pez collections. Sure. I think people collect those dispensers like hotcakes.
It's fun. I'm sure there's probably harmless, some wholesome.
Yeah.
It's not my taste.
No. I don't want a wall of Pez dispensers.
No.
I don't need it.
If I met a man who was like, I have a Pez collection, I would say, that's adorable. We're going to be friends. We're just going to be friends.
Yeah. Is it like six? Like, or is it 60? Like,
the more the merrier. But that's not fuckable. If anyone was wondering.
So in case any of the guys are at home right now, yeah, just hide it, put it away anytime a prospect.
There's all the men like clearing their shelves on the Pez dispensers and throwing them in boxes, panicking. Yeah, you gotta hide that until you like really entrap somebody.
Yeah, or you happen to have those things in common. I would say Love on the Spectrum is it's a perfect example of that.
Yeah, totally.
They show each other their collections. It's the sweetest.
Yeah, go to a Pez con. Find your girl there. Yeah.
A Pez con?
A Pez con.
The Pez con is like somebody renting out like the back of an Alfie's pizza or something. That's how big Pez con is going to be.
You know what? Good for them.
There's like eight people there.
Like, you got to find your tribe. You gotta find your tribe.
Now that we're four kids deep, this might be the right time to reveal to my wife, finally, my hidden Pez collection. She can't go anywhere now.
You have like a storage unit, and there's just boxes and boxes of Pez dispensers. Oh, no.
Honestly, that would be a nightmare. That would
sounds like a horror movie in itself. If I were your wife, I would secretly be selling those shit off. Be like, I don't know where that Peter Pan one went. I'm so sorry. But like I was able to contribute $10,000 to our kids' child fund,
the college fund.
Yeah. Like I just found that money. Don't worry about it. So where am I? I lost it. Okay. So in the 1960s, the deinstitutionalization movement really ramps up. And the argument is that people should be treated within the communities that they live in and in outpatient programs with the help of medication and different types of therapy instead of being locked away outside of the town on a farm.
Like shipping them off somewhere.
Yeah, like we're just schlepping them to these big compounds. Which is definitely what they should be doing. Let's be real.
More progressive.
Yes, way more progressive in the 60s. So with all of this happening, Overbrook begins to see more patients leaving and less patients coming in. The building is also aging, and between the 1970s and the 1990s, we see the place slowly getting shut down due to the aging infrastructure. Because remember, this is like a massive compound. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I mentioned this before. There's like their own fire department there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like they have like a station there. And so like they just can't upkeep this anymore.
That sounds expensive. Yeah.
It's very expensive to upkeep. It's also like asbestos in the walls and like black mold, like all that shit, you know, because it was built in the 1800s, right? So this place, like I just said, is too expensive and too big to maintain. And the hospital closes in 2001.
2001?
Yeah.
That is a lot more recent than I expected to hear.
I know. That's in our lifetime.
That thing is operating for 200 crazy. Years?
Almost, yeah.
God.
Not 200 years.
1800?
1898. Is when it opened.
Okay, 100 years.
Yeah, 100 years. Yeah. So a couple years after it closed, there'd be a few more visitors.
Okay, here we go. I hate ghost adventures.
Of the ghostly.
Here we go. I can tell where we're going.
Filming a TV show, trying to find the things they could not understand.
Understand. Sorry, I'm gonna collect myself.
Just a couple of fellas by the name of Zach, Nick, and Aaron, aka the Ghost Adventures crew.
Okay, Aaron is lucky to be alive, right?
He's Aaron the one. Is lucky to be alive.
Do you know this story?
Have you heard this story, Brandon, about Aaron?
No.
Evidently, last year his wife had put a hit out on him.
This is a true story.
Okay. Yeah, it's in one of the more recent Ghost Adventures episodes. Like Aaron gets the call that she's arrested.
They filmed that?
Oh, of course they filmed that.
Sure.
Zach is capitalizing on that like nobody else,
This is on brand.
Yes. Yeah. Listen, I'm a Zach stan. I am not a Zach defender. I'm going to put that out there right now. He is a douchebag.
It's a proper distinction.
Yeah. No, but his wife was like contacting somebody in prison who was in prison for murdering his family.
Okay.
She was like romantically involved with this person.
Probably solely for the purposes of getting him to murder her husband.
And so she was having him help her find somebody outside of prison to kill Aaron, who was one of the Ghost Adventures crew members on TV.
Wow.
Yeah. And she got caught.
She did.
Fully caught. And it's because like the guy in prison had like a burner cell that he was hiding, and they found the cell phone and they found all the text messages.
Damn.
Yeah. And yeah, so now his wife's in jail. They got divorced. Poor fucking Aaron.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
That is so wild. They're
still married. That'd be hilarious.
They're like, oh yeah, they're just working it out. You know,
there are some men who like crazy, okay?
Every marriage has its bumps in the road, you know? We gotta overcome this together.
Yeah. Okay? Honestly, she was kind of trying to sell that. Be like, hey, like we can get through this. Let's just work it out. And Aaron's
why
like,
would you not?
Aaron's like, fuck you, dude. Good for him, honestly. But yeah, so should I explain what Ghost Adventures is?
No.
Okay.
I've never seen an episode of Ghost Adventures, but I'm imagining they go adventuring. Did you watch the episode for ghosts?
You can describe it for Brandon.
Did you watch the episode last night?
No, I didn't.
How fucking dare you?
I tried to find a free version, but I couldn't. And I was like, don't want to pay for this right now. I'm cheap.
All right. Well, fuck you both. Yeah. I really thought it was going to be like you and me like fangirling about this episode.
No
and then
one
there's
is
going to
fangirl about it except for you. Yeah.
Whatever.
I need you to go frame by frame. I really need to envision all this. I'm going to close my eyes right now. I'm ready.
Whatever. Fuck all y'all. Okay. Actually, before we get into that, I'm actually going to get into the ghosts themselves before I get into the actual Ghost Adventures episode. Because I don't feel like the Ghost Adventures episode sells the ghosts or talks about the ghosts really that well.
Okay.
So visitors and urban explorers often describe an overwhelming sense that they are not alone in the former areas of Overlook, especially in the wards. They said that like they walk around and they feel people following them. Mm. So, and people say it feels targeted, almost like they're being watched or someone's following them from room to room, which I think definitely taps into the Grave Encounters movie. And some report sudden shifts in mood, anxiety, or heavy pressure in the air in like rooms they're in. They're like, this room feels bad juju.
Yeah.
Bad vibes.
It's interesting that you're like, I don't know, our lizard brains can like pick up on.
Yeah, totally. You're like, you're in danger, like girl. That. You're in danger, girl. Yeah, a little bit.
And after feeling this in the first room, they continue on to other rooms to continue feeling this? Is that what's happening?
I think so. Okay. I think if you're looking for it and like you are a ghost adventurer or ghost explorer type of person, this is what you want.
You're a ghost optimistic.
Yeah. 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 If I could pick a job. Yeah. If I could pick a job and everyone got paid the same amount of money, I would definitely be a ghost hunter. I'm not going to lie. If it was just like doing what you do for vibes and like we all get the same paycheck, I'd be a ghost hunter. So just putting it out there. I would do this.
That would probably be near the bottom of my list. Right below, like, I don't know, someone who cleans Chipotle? Up shit for a living, possibly. Oh, yeah. You know, something. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I might choose shit cleaning. You over might choose ghost hunting.
Poop duty.
Yeah.
Poop duty. Yeah. You know what? We just gotta have our thing. Okay.
I simp just as hard for aliens, so I understand.
Yeah, yeah. I am the ghost one. You are the alien one. Yeah. So you would be a alien hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aliens seem a little too freaky. I pass on them too. You know, they like butt stuff a little bit too much. You know, like. At least buy me dinner first or something.
They say, we gotta
work our way up there. Like, don't just pop in and then all of a sudden like start probing.
Like how? Yeah.
Where's the foreplay?
It is alarming.
Why butt stuff is the question. What? There's something up there. Okay. They know more than we do.
Yeah. There's a microchip apparently. Up there that we all have. just a little SIM card of all of our data.
We think it's up here.
I believe that.
No, it's not. You know,
we are living in a simulation.
We are in the simulation. The SIM cards are in our butts.
Cute.
It's kind of cute. Okay. Anyways. So there are reported claims of dark human-shaped figures seen at the ends of corridors and passing between doorways. Like when people are there.
Don't like that.
No. I mean, like I would definitely probably not be cool with that. Be like, okay, this is my time to go.
Okay. Like I've seen it.
Yeah.
Now I gotta go.
Yeah. Like Brandon's the smartest out of the three of us, I think, when it comes to this stuff. Because he's like, I'm avoiding all of it.
Yeah.
We're like a little bit more tread the water, but there is a point I'm like, I'm fucking out of here too. So just make it clear.
That might make it hard to keep your job though as the ghost.
I know.
That's true.
I probably
would have to fucking step your pussy up.
Yeah, I'm not. Get some tulips and go in there, you know? So these figures are usually described as quick and silent. Like they move quickly, but they're like silent, which is kind of creepy. It's almost like they're being sped up, which I do not like. And if you try to approach them, they disappear. They're like, nope, I'm out of here.
Good.
And they often are said to appear in the heavy populated ward areas.
Okay.
Like, I really do think that if a place is haunted, it's going to be one of these places because just of so many bodies that came through. There's so much trauma that happened. Like, it's 100% going to be haunted,
the
right?
The energy is heavy.
Yeah. So people also report hearing faint conversations, like murmuring, like almost like there's like a conversation happening in the other room with a bunch of people. And when they walk into that room, it just like goes like dead silent.
Oh, that's creepy.
Which is very creepy. And they also often talk about hearing like a single word being spoken with no one else around.
Oh, so there's like an audible word?
Yeah. It's like someone's saying like hello or something.
Mm-hmm. Penis.
That's how that's a humor, okay?
If Brandon never comes back from the veil after passing away,
you hear a rogue penis.
You just hear someone whisper penis. We know it's him. We're like, oh, there he is. Hey, girl. We have to have like a code word. Like, that's your code word.
Like, I think penis is the code.
Penis is now the code.
That's
word.
How you know. I'm a ghost.
Penis. Penis, I'm a ghost. Stupid. So heavy footsteps in empty hallways are often commonly reported. There's also door slamming and creaking, like their doors being like open and shut, like the classic creaking noise. And some visitors say it sounds like the activity is still happening, like the place hasn't like been fully shut down.
Oh, it feels and like it's all still functioning.
Yeah, like it's like almost, I think there's a couple different types of haunting. One of them is like residual, where it's just like the energy's still there and it's not interacting with us. Mm-hmm. And there's intelligent, where like it does interact with us.
Got it. Okay.
And then there's also something called the stone tape theory. I feel like I've talked about this on the pod before, but it's basically like time is not happening in the way that we think. It's not linear. Jesus Christ. Been talking too much. But it's actually all times are kind of occurring at the same time.
Yes.
And that like maybe you like witnessed just entirely different time when like this place was open. Mm-hmm. There's like a bleed over. It's called like a stone tape theory. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Everything is happening everywhere all at once.
It's all in a circle a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The spiral.
Mm-hmm. So there's also reports of people hearing crying, often described as distant and echoing through the building, which is sad. Yeah. It's usually said to sound like a woman, though not always clearly identifiable. Sound reportedly comes and goes, making it more difficult to track itself. So like they'll hear it like kind of like walking around and like they try to like find it. Yeah. And, like they just, it doesn't like have any sense or like rhyme or reason to it.
There's no source.
Yeah. So there's also having claims of seeing full-bodied figures, often described as patients in outdated hospital clothing, like fully seeing a patient. And witnesses sometimes say that the figure appears confused or unaware of the observer, almost like they're replaying a moment.
Sure.
Like it's like it's not on the same timeline or something.
Right.
Like they're just there, but they're not seeing what's happening. So a smaller number of reports mention hearing what sounds like children laughing or running, which kid ghosts.
There's something extra creepy about a kid ghost.
Because they're usually demonic.
Oh.
Honestly. I'm not saying kids are demonic. I'm saying that. Sorry. I'm saying that demonic entities often manifest like mimic as children or mimic children to try to like get people to trust them a little more.
Sure.
Annabelle was a really good example of that, if you believe in that, I guess. So given that this is a psychiatric hospital, younger patients were there at the time. This one is like the one that kind of tends to stick with people is like the children laughing and crying. But I'm just saying, I don't fuck with kid ghosts.
Got it.
Yeah.
Fuck them kids. Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck them kids. So back to the Ghost Adventures episode. This is episode six of season one.
Oh, okay. Classic.
It's a classique.
Okay.
Ghost Adventures episode. And the name of the episode, they just call it Old Psychiatric Hospital.
Okay.
And Zach claims that they did this because they were trying to help hide patient identities.
Okay.
I think that's bullshit because there's a couple of things he does later in the episode that's like, you don't give a shit about these patients.
Okay.
I think what happened is they didn't get approval.
Oh, so they couldn't quote it as...
To use the name. I think they got approval to film there. I don't think they got approval to like actually talk about the location itself.
Okay. That makes sense.
They do talk about it, but they don't like spill the beans, I guess, more or less.
Okay.
Like there's a couple things they do talk about. They talk about the cold snap and like the furnace breaking and like the people dying from that. They talk about that specifically. And they also talk about the 10,000 deaths, obviously, because Zach really loves to capitalize on the big statistics, I would say. Yeah. So before the lockdown itself, Zach interviews a couple of town residents about the Overbrook. I keep saying Overlook because I keep thinking of The Shining.
Oh.
And they talk about the mistreatment of patients and the history. Like,
you haven't seen The Shining?
There's no way you haven't seen The Shining.
I haven't seen it.
What?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen The Shining? Wow.
I haven't seen it. I know. I haven't seen it. Sorry. Carry on. I knew this was the audience that would
continue to disappoint me every single day. Just continual disappointment.
No judgment. I haven't seen some of the classics too, but like I have seen The Shining. I mean, I didn't watch the first, like the original Halloween until like two, 3 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
So that was, really late to that.
Yeah.
I did watch it. What's another one?
Rosemary's Baby.
You could pick anything from the 80s. Rosemary's Baby, I watched that for the first time recently too, like two years ago.
Huh.
So I try to make it a point to go back and watch some of the classics, but I know I've missed a lot of them.
Seen like Friday the 13th? Like Freddy Krueger?
Also haven't seen
Nightmare on Elm Street.
I've seen Nightmare on Elm Street.
Friday the 13th, that might be one I haven't seen. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen like the remakes, the modern ones, but the original
one. Camp Crystal Lake? No? Mm-mm. Damn, girl. You're like the horror podcast guy. What are you doing?
Yeah, but like these old movies, I don't like them very much. Like the technology has come so far since then I can't go backwards.
Well, you're also a person that really likes physical like effects, right? Like
cinema.
Not cinema.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, practical you effects like for sure.
Practical are the best effects. Ones. Yeah. Yes. Have you seen the original Thing? The Thing?
Oh, yeah.
With, Kurt Russell? Seen
that. Yes.
Because that one's always talked about when it comes to like changing the game and like practical effects. Because that one's crazy. It's actually is practical effects.
Alien, like those. I've seen those, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're more like that. I mean, I think the first Friday the 13th has some pretty good practical effects, I will say. Like when it comes to like the kills. Because, you know, it's in the 80s and they don't have the technology. And I think it's like probably the same people who worked on those, like The Thing and Aliens.
So the best of the
They were all kind of in the same like realm of like horror genres, right? I would say maybe watch that one at some point.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm not going to tell you what to do, how you live your life. I'm just suggesting it. Okay. So Zach, he interviews people, town residents, historians about the Overbrook and just the mistreatment of patients and like kind of like the history I already given you is what they talk about initially.
Okay.
It's the classic setup for the spookiness. And there's also a point I definitely think that Grave Encounters used is they're in the tunnels underneath and there's like arrows and they say death in spray paint and they're like pointing a certain direction. Which there's definitely a part in Grave Encounters where there's also some spray paint used and as a identifier, you know. So there, like I said, there's some certain aspects that definitely tap into that movie too. So during the first part of the lockdown, Zach puts his hand out asking Nick if he has his respirator mask on. This is funny. It's not even like scary. And he just like accidentally pokes him in the eye because they're in like pitch black.
Okay, I like that.
He's like, do you have your mask on? And just like, boink. And Nick's like, fuck, dude. Like, they're so unserious, but they like try to be so serious. So like,
that's the part that gets me. Is I'm like, this is ridiculous.
They're such bros.
And they're taking themselves so seriously.
Yeah. It's funny because in Grave Encounters, the guy who is basically like the Zach character is less Zach than Zach is.
Yeah. He's more likable. He's less more likable
and less ridiculous. Yeah. I'm like, damn, Zach, you're really going for it, which I kind of respect, I guess. So the first round of evidence they capture are a few disembodied voices and like loud bangs and crashes. There's one that says hello specifically. The other ones, I'm kind of like,
okay.
About personally.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just sounds like weird background noise.
Oh, sure.
They do this a lot.
They try to convince you that you're hearing something.
Yeah. And I think the hard thing when it comes to like ghost hunting TV shows is I do think that they sometimes capture real evidence. But I do also think that they're also making a TV show.
Yes.
And they have to make sure it's entertaining and they have to like kind of pull something out of their ass.
Totally. That's why I'm suspicious.
Yeah. I don't think they make things up. I think they elaborate on certain scenarios.
We do.
Clearly we do.
Maybe they do.
I don't know. Yes. You guys are both like, no.
It's okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to pretend that I believe it for your sake.
Ghost optimist was a very good descriptor for you, Missy.
Thank you. I am the ghost optimist. Whatever. So when they're in this hallway, they hear like a loud like bang or a crash in sounds like a door slamming. And they also get a hello on their EVP recorders, which is electronic voice phenomenon, aka ghost voice.
Ghost voice.
Ghost voice.
Be a good like musician name.
Yeah. And then Zach kind of creates this narrative throughout this episode about like a ghost of a former nurse that was murdered.
She was murdered by
patients.
Ooh, okay.
And in my research,
he creates this narrative.
Yes, in my research, I did not. Shut up.
I'm sorry.
Listen.
She really loves ghost adventures. It's a problem.
I'm a stan. I'm not a defender. God damn it.
Okay.
Anyways,
okay,
took us here knowing that I was going to take shots.
You know what? That's fine. I'd rather you take shots than just sit here and just nod. Honestly. Yeah. So he's basically like, there's a former nurse that was murdered in this hospital. This wasn't talked about in the initial interviews of the episode as well. So I don't know if he's making this up. Okay. Or like he found something somewhere that I didn't find.
And he couldn't maybe verify. It's just lore.
It's just lore, sure. Maybe. And like the fact that they didn't disclose the location itself. Maybe they couldn't disclose the nurse. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Something happened in editing. Or it's all just fucking made up.
It's believable to me that a nurse could be murdered at a place like this, though.
Yeah. I do agree.
Over the course of 100 years.
Yeah, yeah. And this is where I kind of say that I don't think Zach actually cares about patients. Mm-hmm. He decides to get into a straitjacket.
Oh, okay.
Like, fully gets into a straitjacket and sits in a room and is trying to, like, provoke the spirits to say something to him. I'm like, you know, fucking...
So ridiculous.
He's crazy. He's a crazy man. He's a crazy guy. Like I said, Stan, not a defender, okay? I don't think this is cool. This is early 2000s. Reality TV.
Why? You know, we were wild. It was in wild, the early west. 2000s reality,
like,
TV.
Like, I'm not going to be Tyra Banks and like say it was cool because, or like it was the time.
It was the times.
It's definitely not cool. But he basically is like sitting in this like straitjacket. He's like, I need help. I need help. He's like, I need a nurse. And like just yelling.
Okay.
And he's like,
oh, he's trying to summon the ghost of the nurse.
Maybe. And then he's also saying like, I understand what you guys went through. Like, I don't like this. Like, just kind of like relate, but also provoke.
Sure.
It's weird.
Yeah. He's trying to summon them.
He's trying to summon them.
Bro, just bring a Ouija board.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or a witch.
Or a witch.
An Etsy witch.
Or a psych. Yeah. Get your Etsy witch on.
A medium. This is before. Do we ever have mediums on the...
I think they did a few times. Mm. I don't think they did that for like a couple seasons.
The mediums are probably like, they don't want to talk to you guys. They're like,
you're trying too hard. You're trying too hard. You're coming in too hard. Yeah. You're coming in too hot. Like, you're annoying.
They exist, but they don't want to hang out with you. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Even the ghosts are like, you're not cool. I'm sorry. So while in the straitjacket, this is when he starts to bring up the nurse that was killed by a patient. And like I say, like, I'm not sure if he's asking this as a question or saying it as a fact. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a little bit nuanced, I guess. But like I said, like, a nurse being killed by a patient did not come up in my research. I just want to reiterate that. So I don't fucking know what he's doing in this moment. Mm-hmm. And so next, the guy is going to the tunnels underground, which is pitch black. And they're looking through their little night vision cameras. That's the only way they can, like, kind of navigate. And they catch what I will say is the best piece of ghost evidence in the whole show of this episode. So Zach is in front and Nick is right behind him. And we're seeing this whole thing go down from Aaron's perspective, who's further back. So you can see Nick and Zach. And then all of a sudden, Zach like flips out and he's like, grabs his arm. He's like, did you just fucking grab me? Like, did you just grab me, bro? He's like freaking out. Mm-hmm. And Nick is like, what the fuck is going on? And Aaron's like, I don't fucking know. And Nick's like, go after him. He's like, I'm not doing that. Like, Aaron's the smart one. And so Zach says that he saw a shadow of a hand reach and grab him. Mm-hmm. And he has it on video.
Okay.
They're like looking at the video camera in real time in the little screen. And you can see there's like, oh, that, like a shadow of it.
He's out of the straitjacket at this point?
He's out of the straitjacket. I'm sorry. Yes, he got out of the straitjacket. Okay. That was just an exercise. That was a different
scene. Okay.
This is the next scene. Okay. Yeah. So he shows the video and it's literally like this. You can see it. It's fully a hand.
Okay.
And Nick is right behind him and he's in the shot and he's holding a camera.
Oh, so you don't think it's like one of the... What about one of the producers?
They don't have any producers. Okay. It's just the three of them.
They have on PAs? Location. All right.
I don't know.
I think it's likely that they could have some extra random hand arm grabber type people for the sake of the show. But, because how many shows does somebody get touched by a ghost? How many episodes?
I don't know. There's a decent amount.
The majority.
Listen, this is my thing about this stuff, okay? Is when people are, and I do think there's a lot about this episode or this show that is made up. Like, they just, like, kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
But I do think they legitimately do get evidence sometimes.
Okay.
And I think this is one of those moments. I think the hand thing, I should have grabbed a recording of it.
Okay, that's all right.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
And it just, for me, it's like when people see that stuff and they're like, oh, well, it's just fake. It's like, then like, what is real when it comes to ghost hunting? Is anything real then? Like, if they have like real, like creepy stuff that happens and you're just saying it's bullshit, do you believe any of it?
I think if I was there and someone grabbed my arm, then I would believe it.
Okay. But I'm just saying, I think.
Do I believe someone grabbed Batman's arm? The thirsty ghost hunter with a TV show? No, of course not.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I'm sorry. There is, like, you know, I feel this way.
I know you do. I'm just saying there's like just the wide angle shot. There's only Nick and there's only Zach.
Okay. So you don't see another human around.
There's
him.
Not another human in there. Okay. It's just Nick holding a camera and Zach's in front of him and he freaks out.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying. And like, maybe they shot it that way. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like 2007. I don't know if like CGI works that well.
Yeah. Okay.
During this era.
I don't know.
But it is, I think, the most significant piece of evidence in this show.
Gotcha.
In this episode specifically. The best piece of evidence they ever got was their documentary that they made that got them the TV show, which I don't think I've ever shown you.
No.
So
watch it.
Shut up. So they made a documentary for Sci-Fi, and it was called Ghost Adventures. It was before they didn't have a TV deal. They had nothing. It was just this one
project that
they were doing. And it's at the Goldfield Hotel in Nevada. It's like an old abandoned hotel.
Cool.
And Zach is like shooting. Sorry, now I'm going off on a tangent. Mm-hmm. Zach is shooting, and he like looks into this room, and you see a brick fly across the room.
Oh. Mm.
And like, that's what got them the TV show.
Okay.
Was catching that.
Sure.
And so, is that fake?
I would say yes.
How was that fake, though? How did they do that?
So, was the brick visible first, and then it flew from one area to another, or flew from... Okay. Okay.
What if there's like some kind of string or like a twine?
It was in the corner, and it like flew.
Yeah, somebody yanked it from the fishing line.
Are you sure you believe in ghosts?
I don't. Listen, I do. I just don't think that they're like manipulating physics.
I think they can. Have you never heard of a poltergeist?
Oh my God, we're fighting.
We are fighting. The girlies are fighting. Because poltergeist exists. That is a thing, and they manipulate.
Right. You know, we have talked about some episodes that seem like there is.
Enfield poltergeist.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm just saying.
I think it's possible. I think it's like a 1 in a million chance or like very, very marginal numbers.
And I'm
highly suspicious of the type of people that say they're catching this on the regular.
Yeah. I will say that the way that I am a Zach stan and like not a defender, I'm not trying to defend him. I think you are a Zach hater and you would not believe anything.
That's true.
Anything that comes from this man. So I think we both are on different sides of the bias.
All right. Sorry, I wasn't trying to beef with you. I wasn't trying to start.
Are beefing, so. We're ghost beefing.
I'm sorry I had to witness this, Brandon.
It's like these no worries. Fucking just pretend
crazy
I'm not here.
Bitches.
I'm a ghost. Penis.
Just a ghost. Brandon's a ghost in the machine. Just every once in a while just say penis so we know you're there. So after this
the hand
thing, they then put Nick in one of the morgue drawers. Like those like big.
Oh, I would not fuck with that.
Why, bro? Why?
For the TV show. It's for the ratings.
That's insane.
Yeah, they put him in one of the fucking drawers.
Okay.
I would, as someone who's claustrophobic, hell never. Absolutely not.
Never.
I'd rather go in the dark ass tunnels by myself.
Ooh.
If I had to choose.
Okay. I actually feel the opposite. Like, I don't want to be in there, but I'd rather be in a confined space where I can at least feel all the corners.
What about the spiders?
There's spiders in there?
Hell yeah.
There's also spiders in the... Yeah, I guess so. I don't mean I don't like it, but I think I would rather... There's something about being in a... So I'm thinking barbarian right now when you're talking about the... Mm-hmm. Where just like there's this like black vastness and you can't... You don't know what's behind you, what's in front of you, what's around you.
Totally.
And I think for me, that's a little more creepy than being like, there's a wall, there's a spider web. Like,
yeah.
At least I kind of have like a...
Yeah.
I know what's around me.
Yeah. I mean, but like, they lock him in there.
Rude.
Like, they close the door. And
the claustrophobia
cannot,
would probably set in at that point.
Yeah. They can't... You can't open it from the inside because there's no one in there.
There's no reason to open it from the inside.
That's a lot of trust involved. I'd have trouble with that.
It's a lot of trust, right? Did you guys, sorry, another weird sidebar tangent. Did you guys ever remember the show Fear on MTV? It was only like a couple seasons.
Tell me about
it. It was like early 2000s. Maybe,
but I need you to
sounds vaguely familiar.
It was a TV show where it was like kind of the Road Rules real world era. But
it was reality?
It was a reality TV show where they would take people, like a couple, like, you know, teens, younger adults, and they would put them in hot locations.
Mm.
And they would have like a base camp, and they'd only have their cameras. There wasn't a crew. It was just like them filming. And they would send them out to do like little stunts, or not stunts, like basically like challenges. Like,
okay,
you like one of the challenges would be like go into the morgue and lay in one of the drawers.
Okay. No, I don't know that.
You don't remember that show? God, I used to love that show. I wanted to be on it so badly. But then they canceled it. So I think there's only like two or three seasons of it. I think it was too expensive to do, maybe. Mm-hmm. It was a good show. It was creepy. I wish I could find it. Never heard on of like that. Maybe it's on YouTube.
Probably
I'll
YouTube.
Have to look. Yeah, I'll have to look. Anyways, if anyone else is there out there as a Fear fan,
Shout out.
Let me know where I can find it. Yeah, so they put Nick in one of the drawers and they lock him in there. I don't know if they knew they'd be locking him in there when they shut it.
Okay.
I would like to think that they should have known that, but
like they tested it to make sure they could open and close it first before they put the man in there.
They definitely didn't do that.
Men.
And like Zach and Aaron go off on their merry way and try to do like EVP sessions and try to get some evidence. They don't really get anything. And Nick is in this fucking drawer and there's a camera inside and you can see him start to slowly freak out.
Sure.
And he does get an EVP that says kill.
Really?
Uh-huh.
No.
Which big is no. Spooky. Yeah, big no. And then he's like on the walkie-talkie. He's like, I need to get the fuck out of here. Like, you guys need to come get me right now. And then the guys, Zach and Aaron, they're lost. Fucking place. And then Nick is like kicking this drawer, like trying to get it open. He's like freaking out. He's like, let me the fuck out of here. Like, fully panicking.
Yeah.
He's in there for an hour.
Oh, wow.
He's locked in this goddamn...
It's time to take a nap. Like, you gotta let us go with it. Close your eyes.
Your survival instincts are terrible.
Oh, you gotta keep the heart rate down. You need to just remain calm.
Like bringing like witchy vibes in this moment.
Right. He was like, all these like inner liner chakras. We're going to be now a sensory deprivation chamber.
Like, we're now
going to meditate.
Yeah, it's going to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the best part. I don't know.
It would not have been good for the show.
No.
But he's
also just a dumb idiot.
Oh.
They all are.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. And so like he's kicking the door. He's in there for an hour. They finally get
him out.
Too
long.
He was like, holy shit. He's like, that was the worst moment of my life. Which I would probably feel the same way after getting out of that in an hour.
I wouldn't leave you in there for an hour. Just so you know.
You what? You
wouldn't leave me? I would not leave you in there for an hour.
You'd leave me in there forever?
No, of course not.
I'd be like, I'm done with this bitch. Like
6 minutes.
You're like, thank God. I don't have to do another podcast episode.
Can we leave now? Like, nothing happened, right? Like, let's go. Let's go get... Can we go get some drinks, please?
Sure. Whatever. I appreciate you not leaving me in the morgue drawer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Brandon's in the background just whispering penis as it goes.
Penis. Penis.
Exactly. I'd be like, well, at least I'm not alone. Okay. So the last piece of evidence, I'm going to put quotes around this because I'm like, is that Nick claims he was slapped in the face. And they show this video before he says he was slapped. And it looks like, I don't know how you guys feel about orbs, but it looks like there's an orb that like goes towards his head and then kind of juts down like in like a weird U shape. And then Nick says he feels like he was slapped in his face.
Mm. With a hand or just like something hit him in the
face?
With
a hand.
Oh, okay.
It says what he feels like.
An open face slap?
Slap. The slap on the wrong guy.
A bitch slap.
Yeah. He got bitch slapped. Which is funny as shit.
They have like, get out of here. What are you doing here?
I know, like, I'm over you. But they like take the, like, they turn on their flashlight, they show Nick's face, and it's like a little red. I would say, is it rosacea? Is it razor burn? Or is it a slap?
Okay.
Like, there's like this one part right here, like, it looks like it could be like a finger mark, like from like a hand slapping him.
If somebody slapped you in the face and left a finger mark, they would have to slap you so hard.
Yeah.
Pretty hard.
Yeah. Have you ever seen those like slapping competitions?
Yes.
Where they slap.
Yeah. They, power their slap. Hand starts way yeah. back here.
Yes. So it's called I've power seen slap. Power slap. Yeah. It's called power who slap. Does it's like that? A crazy people.
Crazy yeah, people who do that.
Should be at the overlook.
Of at the Overbrook. Yeah.
I forget what the name is now too. Yeah. No, it's crazy.
Yeah. Like, they get, that is crazy.
They get the rocked. Way they fall. They get rocked. Yeah, they like pass they out. They concuss like, themselves.
It's crazy. Yeah, you're right.
How
it's
do you dangerous. Last more than a season doing that? That's what I wonder understand.
I don't know. They yeah, I don't know. You must figure out how to gird your loins.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So that's like kind of the last thing. And they do take the hand and like they take it to like another person to analyze it. They're like, can confirm it's spooky.
Sure.
And I would say overall this episode's a bit of a dud when it comes to like Ghost Adventures episodes, minus the creepy hand thing.
Okay.
That was creepy as fuck.
Okay.
The rest of it's kind of meh. Mm-hmm. If I was giving it a terrific rating, I'd probably give it a 2 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
You know. You were pretty harsh on the ratings, oh. I will say. On the movies.
Some of the
every time I'm like, damn, I'm like,
Black Phone 2. The Black Phone 2, I had to go back and revise that one. It was bad.
That was bad. The first one
I was trying to be nice with the two. First one was really, really good. And then the second one, I don't know what happened there. It was
disappointing for sure.
It was dog shit. Yeah. I was like, okay. So what remains of Overbrook Asylum isn't just a place, but a quiet reminder of how easily care can blur into confinement when systems are overwhelmed and people are forgotten. Today, much of the old campus has been cleared, with portions transformed into parks and modern medical facilities, along with townhomes and condos. So it's just basically been like made into... People live there now.
Wow.
Yeah. I would love to hear if there's any sort of like... stuff that happens,
those
right?
Those could be cool townhomes.
Right. The past is quite literally built over. Mm. But even as new life grows where the asylum once stood, the legacy of Overbrook lingers in the stories it left behind. Thousands of patients pass through its halls, many without answers to what was happening to them, and many without their voice being heard, and some were silenced altogether. And while the buildings may be gone, the grounds still carry the dark history of what happened there. And what they leave behind still echoes just as loudly. How many souls who lived within those walls were left behind? How many were simply lost to a system that no longer knew or even wanted to care for them? And that is the Overbrook Asylum. Or Essex Town County Hospital, if you want to.
For the insane.
Yes.
Is that what they called it?
Yes. Yeah. Overbrook is like what it's known as, though.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
What a history lesson.
You're welcome.
Yes. And yeah. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to be honest. No one, you couldn't give me a free condo or townhouse to live at a place.
On those grounds.
Where, yes.
True.
That 10,000 people died of exposure and shock therapy and lobotomy.
Just the most horrific things that happen.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The likelihood of nightmares seem like they're, it's like,
yeah,
much higher.
I mean, that's like the whole point of Poltergeist, the movie.
Yeah.
It was like they were put on top of a graveyard.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. If anyone lives there who's listening,
I'm going to look those up.
Let us fucking know.
See if I can find it on the Zillow.
Right? Do you see some weird shit?
Probably expensive as fuck, too.
No. Probably very expensive. Yeah.
It's a historic building.
Yeah. No. They tore those out.
Oh, they tore it down and now they just built over it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's not in the old building. Mm-mm. Oh, I was thinking it would be like a, you know, a refurbished loft or something.
If it was the old building, I probably would move in.
Sold. Okay, so it's just like a regular townhome on the... Oh.
On the grounds. Yeah, they tore those buildings down because they were way too expensive to rebuild or maintain.
That makes sense.
Like, they would have to get rid of all the asbestos, the mold.
100 years old and stuff.
Okay. Very, very old.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But that's the history.
History.
In the Ghost Adventures episode. Little synopsis there. Like I said, it was kind of a dud of an episode. I kind of forgot about that. All I remember was the hand. I'm going to find the video. I'm going to send it to both of you.
Yeah. Okay. You do that.
I want to see it.
I
do too. And next we'll do the movie version.
Brandon's taking over.
I can't wait.
And we're going to do talk about Grave Encounters.
Grave
which
Encounters.
Which is the movie based on the
Ghost Adventures episode.
Really?
I think it is.
Okay. I'm dying to hear what Brandon
I'm just
to
taking
say about
Missy's
it.
Word for this because I haven't seen the Ghost Adventures episode. I haven't seen any episode of Ghost Adventures. Yeah.
It did seem like it had the essence of Ghost Encounters.
Say, I think the Grave Encounters, I don't think it's just this specific place. I think it's all of the, like, we've done Penhurst.
Yeah.
And we've done Waverly Hills. I think it's probably a combination of Penhurst, the Overbrook, and Waverly Hills. Ghost Adventures wise, kind of combined and to make Grave Encounters. Grave Encounters is definitely heavily inspired by Ghost Adventures.
Okay.
You watch it and you know that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
yeah. I would say even if you don't know that you have like ever seen an episode of Ghost Adventures, you know what they're referring to. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know if you can speak to that because I've obviously seen both.
We will talk about it.
Yeah. But we will talk about that next.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to do the movie. I'm really excited to do the movie. This is like one of my favorite scary movies, and so I'm really glad that we're actually doing this. So
same.
I'd love to talk about it. I have so many thoughts. That's why I was like, we're gonna have to do two, because I'm not gonna be able to shut the hell up about it.
let's get it going.
Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. Your stickers are in the mail, by the way. If you haven't
gotten them
yet.
Yes, my Mothman cakes. I need that. That's going on my laptop for sure.
Yeah, if you haven't gotten that yet, they are in the mail. I sent those out this week. So
excellent. Thank you.
Look out for those. If you want other stickers from us, do a rating and review and follow us and send it to me at grimlypodcast@gmail.com and I'll mail you some stickers. And they're pretty fucking stellar.
They are fantastic. High quality stickers.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening. And until next time.
Stay grimly curious.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok @GrimlyPodcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.